One, two. Hello. Good morning. Yes. All right. I am on now. Welcome. Come on in. Find your seat. Happy Mother's Day to everyone here today. I guess that's probably a lot of folks have gone to be with their mothers today. And let's stand. And we'll stand in our seats together and let's pray. Right. You don't know. Everyone's already standing. Let's stand together and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for our mothers. Lord, we want to honor them today. Lord, we want to honor you today as well. Lord, bless this time. I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would minister your word to our hearts, to our minds, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, we want to know you. We want to walk with you. We want to be intimate with you. We thank you for this time. Just anoint this time for your purposes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So we are preaching through the book of Matthew. I was reading a little bit of commentary from R.C. Sproul, and he had talked about how when he had preached through Matthew and then written commentaries and things on it, you know, he took 8 years to preach through the book of Matthew and then had just volumes and volumes of commentary and such, you know, afterwards. But while we haven't been in it 8 years, it's been some time. We're in chapter 20, starting chapter 20 today, and it's the parable of the vineyard workers. So, you know, yeah, we got our title up there and everything. And I'll just get straight into it. It starts off here, for the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like the landowner. So it starts off with the word for. Okay, well, that kind of gives us an indication, some kind of, you know, let's look back. It's connected to what we just read at the end of chapter 19. So if you have your Bibles with you at the end of chapter 19, it ends with this phrase, but many who are first will be last and the last first. And so basically, here's Jesus ended that statement. And so here is why that is. Here's why many who are first will be last and the first last. Or, I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? Many who are first will be last and the last first. Here's why that is. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage, which is one denarius. You know, one denarius was also, it was actually a pretty decent wage. It was the daily wage for a Roman soldier. So it wasn't a skimpy daily wage. He goes out and he agrees to pay them one denarius and he sends them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon, and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one hired us." The landowner told them, "Go out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, they each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner. "Those people worked only 1 hour, and you've paid them as much as you've paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage, one denarius? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others?" So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. So this parable that Jesus tells us today, it ends with the same statement that it started with in verse 30 of chapter 19. That you know, those who are last will be first. Those who are first will be last. So this is a continuation. This is Jesus' reply. to the questions that the disciples had asked. You know, in chapter 19, and what Aaron spoke on last week was the rich young ruler. You know, he went away sad. And the disciples asked after this, this question, the first question, or a series of questions, the first one being then, who then can be saved? Because the rich young ruler, he wanted to know. He's asked, what deeds can I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do? And he was feeling pretty good about himself. Yeah, I've done this, I've done that. All the things that Jesus is saying, yeah, I've done those and some. You know, except for the fact now that Jesus reveals the one thing that was deficient. It was in his heart. He cared more about his possessions than following Jesus. And so then Peter follows up after this, and he asks the second question. Now, I always love Peter because he asks the question that everyone else is thinking. You know, he's that guy. There was a time in my life, and believe it or not, there was somebody who really got under my skin and irritated me quite regularly. And I don't know if he just did it because he wanted to, but there was always this thing. You know, we would go out and we would go, like, we did prayer walks and we ministered to people. And as a brother in Christ, it was amazing. But as a coworker, he was cantankerous and obtuse and difficult. And there was just certain things I couldn't say to him because, hey, we're brothers in Christ. But there was another guy at the shop that day, one of my other friends, who's a little unregenerate, and I pray for him regularly. But he's the kind of guy that will say the things that you always wish you could. And there he was, this other young man, being cantankerous, being difficult, being obtuse, being boastful. And my other friend let him have it. He said all the things that everybody wished, like, oh man, I'm so glad he's saying this to him. And anyway, I think Peter sometimes says those things that we all wish we could ask, but then we don't maybe have the courage to. But he does. He just comes out and says it. So this, it reveals the heart. Peter's question reveals a heart very much like the rich young ruler's, because he says, see, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have? And so the reason that that's similar, the reason that that's like the same thing, it still focuses on possessions. It focuses on what are we going to get? What are we going to have? And it's very similar to the rich young ruler, and he's focused on possessions. He's focused on himself. Jesus goes on, he replies this. He says, everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake, they'll receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. So we all have this notion, we all have this understanding, every one of us, of what's fair, what's good and proper, about who's the favorite, who's the most important, who's done more for the cause of the gospel than anyone else. You know, all these things, you know, just like this rich young ruler, it still speaks of this nature of self-focus, this self-sufficiency. I want the attention for what I've done. And what I'm able to do in my own strength and what, or even what I have, what I possess. But this is a complete opposition to the call of Christ, the call that he has on us, which is, he says this, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The work of God is this, it's to redeem us unto eternal life. To purchase us as his own, to make us his own, to make us co-heirs with Christ. It has everything to do with him. Everything, it's his doing. His desire, his will, his character, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his purpose to make all things new. Peter's question, it's somewhat boastful. We've left everything. Don't we get a bigger portion? Don't we get a little something extra besides what everyone else does? Obviously, we're here with you. And that's when, that's this parable. This parable comes on, and Jesus then starts to show him five different groups of people. And I did a little sketch here of the five different groups of people, and we broke it down. You can kind of see the unfairness that's going on. So this denarius being kind of a standard full day's wage. And what was the day? It was sun up till sundown, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. In many parts of the world, that's the day. In South America, we have these changing days where now they're super long. It's light until 9 o'clock in the evening and stuff. But when I grew up in South America, light at 6, dark at 6, every single day. And it never changes, ever. you don't have seasons like that. So anyway, that was the workday, 12 hours. They're in the scorching heat. So that first morning, so there's five groups. Okay, the first group, they're promised the day's wage, which was a denarius for this type of labor, and they agreed for that rate, and they go out to work. So the second, the third, and the fourth groups, they weren't promised any specific amount, but they were promised they'd receive what was fair. And then the members of the fifth group, I didn't see in the parable any promise about, you know, what they were promised is what they were going to receive for it, other than the opportunity here to come and do something. You know, the laborer in those days, there were a lot of people in that town. In this region, vineyards were, you know, very common. And the manpower necessary to do the harvesting and the work because of the terrain was very difficult. You know, the slope terrains where you're doing a lot of terracing, you're doing a lot of work on, you know, just sandy, just difficult terrain. And so when it came time to harvest, there was a very limited time where you could get that in. And so you've got to get the workers. And people, just like, I guess, in a larger city, you know, where you need some help on a job, you go down to Home Depot and there's going to be people hanging around in the parking lot looking for work, and you can hire them and they'll come help lay out grass seed or something like that for you. And so this is the same sort of thing. They're in the marketplace. They're waiting. They're there. They're ready to work, but they're looking for somebody to call to them and to hire. So here's that thing. The thing that all five of these groups, they all have in common is the same fact. The landowner went out and found them. The landowner went out to them. And that's the example of what Jesus, he did then, and he's still doing today. Because it says, you know, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's what he does. He comes, come and work in my vineyard. Come and work with me. Come and do my work. We love him because he first loved us. It's not because of anything that we've done, because he called to us and he rescued us from the wages of sin, which is death. So this, it's what makes us, you know, his saving us and rescuing us and bringing us out of the darkness. And that's what makes us able to receive the gift that he has for us. That's eternal life. So this wage of sin is death. Everything is standing in the way of that. And he wants to just undo that and give us this gift of eternal life. You know, the thing that each one of these workers did in the parable is they responded. They said, yeah, we'll go. They responded to the master's call and they went to work in the field. So this parable, it speaks of the ones that responded to the invitation. It's the church. It's the believers that have chosen to follow Christ. There's always going to be others who don't heed the call. There were probably others in the marketplace, you know, in these days, like, no, especially the guys at 5 o'clock. What's the point? You know, we're going to go work for an hour? No, I'm done. We're going to go back home. But, you know, there are those that still, they heeded the call. That's what this is about. Each and every single one of these people received the prize. They received the goal. They received this wage because they heeded the call. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's it. Every single person who heeds that call will be saved. And that gift is eternal life. It's the same. Full payment. Eternal life. It's received regardless of when we come to him. Full payment's received regardless of what we left behind for him. These things don't give us any kind of greater clout or credit. Full payment is received because of the character of God. Because, like verse 15 asks, should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? You think about in Nineveh, you know, Jonah. It's like, I don't want to go preach to them. I don't want to because I know you're merciful. I know you're good. I know you're kind. You're going to save them, and I want to see them perish. You know, he had hatred in his heart. And so he, you know, I'm going to run away. And the Lord, of course, that wasn't his plan. His plan and purpose was to rescue Nineveh and to change the heart of this man, Jonah. But, you know, still that, why should we be jealous because the master is kind, because he wants to save the wicked, because he wants to save. And that's the thing in this, that somehow or another, you know, these people that worked, we worked all day in the scorching heat for you. Shouldn't we get more? All of a sudden, now there's this this feeling like we deserve more, you know? And somehow they forget about the fact that this is all the kindness of God. The fact that they worked at all and had this wage was the kindness of God. And shouldn't he be able to be as kind as he wants to whoever he wants to? Of course, that's the answer is yes, that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's chosen in his nature to offer all who call on him the ultimate gift. And that gift is, of course, eternal life with him in heaven. And Jesus is over and over throughout the gospel. He wants to say the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's very different. We all have these other understandings about how things are. But the kingdom of heaven is like this. And so he's, you know, we've got this bracketed. Many who are first will be last and the last first. And so at the end of this, so those who are last now will be first then. And those who are first will be last. All the striving, all the posturing that people do to get ahead in life, you know, to climb that ladder in their fields, to get to the top. It's not the way the kingdom of heaven works. It's not to say that we shouldn't work hard and look to excel in the work that he's given us to do, but that's not the way that we obtain the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven works on this completely different set of rules, and the rewards, they're not merit-based in any way, shape, or form. The reward is that God himself, it's what he established. You know, since he created humanity and since he knew before the beginning of time, his desire was and is for us to be with him for eternity at all costs. Nothing's going to stop that. And so he even came to give his own life in exchange for ours so that we could be with him forever. No work of the enemy is going to prosper against what he's done. And I just wanted to put this verse in there too. For God knew his people in advance. And this is from the New Living Translation. I thought this reads well. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. That's, he justified us. He's giving us a right standing with himself. And having given them the right standing, he gave them his glory. This parable today, it isn't taking anything away from anyone. You first are going to be squashed down to the bottom and those are going to be brought up. It's not like that at all. It's showing a glimpse here of the height and depth of and the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. That, look, all these other things are irrelevant because my love trumps all of this. It supersedes all of these things. It is, you know, far and above, greater than any of this that you see on this earth. So the first becoming the last and the last becoming the first, they're the effects of this justification of the work of Christ. I'm going to put you into the position that I want you to be in, that I want you to be, you know, justified, rectified, and made like me. He brought all of us who would believe in his name into that same place of holiness. So now it's, you know, we take on his holiness. He's given us his glory. That's what that verse says. He gave us his glory. He brought all who would believe in his name into that same place. Jesus says about himself, he says, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave." I'll tell you, the function of Christianity, the reason that we're here, the reason that any of us call Christ our King, is because we want to be like him. We want to be made and conformed to his image. We want to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. That's his plan. That's his purpose. That's his goal for us. That's the purpose of Christianity. So it's according to his mercy and his grace and nothing else. And the first becoming the last and the last becoming the first, that's the kingdom way. And so that's just, it erases that human construct that we place on everything. No one has more merit than anyone else of the grace of God. No one, you know, is like, wow, this guy really lived a great life. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. Okay, yeah, he's holy. And that's what was happening in those days. The Pharisees have said, and the rich young ruler. See, this is still a response of that. I've done all these things. I've really lived a good life. But everything about his heart was wrong. And that's the thing that God's looking for, that Christ is looking for. Our hearts inclined to him. So none of us have done anything that would earn them the right to gain entry into the kingdom of heaven. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, he says this, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they've been born again, born of the Spirit of God. So it's the kindness of God that in his mercy sent Jesus to give us a way to be born again through his blood on the cross. And That's the message today. This is a little bit shorter. It is Mother's Day. We get the opportunity to go out, but let's call the worship team up. And I just want to pray with us, and let's worship the Lord, and let's just thank Him for what He's done. You know, He's called unto us, and some of us He called early. Some of us He called late. And some of us yet, if you haven't heeded that call, if you haven't responded to that, if you haven't said, I do want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you. I do. I want to see you make that decision and change the course of your life for eternity. Because those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So let's stand together. Let's worship. Let's praise Him for what He's done. Let's praise Him that He is the one who justifies us, who makes us on a right standing before God. Father God, thank You for this powerful work that You've done. I thank You, Lord, for calling to us. Lord, when we were in the marketplace with idly doing nothing, Lord, that we weren't about the work of Your kingdom, but that You called to us. And Lord, we thank You for that. We praise You for that. We praise You that You've done this merciful and wonderful thing of giving us eternal life as the gift and what You desire. We thank You for that and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.